Chapter 3, The Pineal Gland and the Third Eye. Many different ancient traditions say there is a physical gland nestled deep within the center of the brain, where telepathic thought transmissions and visual images are received. This tiny pinecone-shaped gland is known as the epiphysis, or pineal gland, and is about the size of a pea. In fact, the word pineal comes from the Latin pinea, which means pinecone. Ancient cultures all over the world were fascinated by the pinecone and pineal gland-shaped images, and consistently used them in their highest forms of spiritual artwork. Pythagoras, Plato, Iamblichus, Descartes, and others wrote of this gland with great reverence. It has been called the seat of the soul. Obviously, if this third eye is receiving direct impressions from the source field, we have not yet identified how such a mechanism might work. But that doesn't necessarily mean the ancients were wrong. The pineal gland is not technically a part of the brain. It is not protected by the blood-brain barrier. It exists in the approximate geometric center of the brain's mass, has a hollow interior filled with a watery fluid, and receives more blood flow than any other part of the body except the kidneys. Since it is not protected by the blood-brain barrier, the fluid inside the pineal gland gathers an increasing amount of mineral deposits, or brain sand, over time, which have optical and chemical properties similar to the enamel on your teeth. This calcification appears as a bone-like mass in the center of your brain on an X-ray or MRI. Doctors use this hard white cluster to tell if you have a brain tumor. If the white dot appears to be pushed off to one side in your scan, they know a tumor has changed the shape of your brain. As I detailed in my online documentary, 2012 Enigma, pine cones are prominently featured in sacred art and architecture from all over the world, in an apparent homage to the pineal gland. This is a truly astonishing phenomenon that has never been adequately explained. A Christian article entitled, "Pagans Love Pine Cones and Use Them in Their Art," has many pictures that prove the point. A bronze sculpture of a hand from the mystery cult of Dionysus in the late Roman Empire has a pine cone on the thumb, amidst other strange symbols. A Mexican god holds pine cones and a fir tree in a sculpture. A staff of the Egyptian sun god Osiris from a museum in Torino, Italy, has two kundalini serpents that entwine together and face a pine cone on the top. The Assyrian-Babylonian winged god Tammuz is pictured holding a pine cone. The Greek god Dionysus carries a staff with a pine cone on top, symbolizing fertility. Bacchus, the Roman god of drunkenness and revelry, also carries a pinecone staff. The Catholic Pope carries a staff with a pinecone directly above where his hand is positioned, and the staff then extends up into a stylized tree trunk. Many Roman Catholic candle holders, ornaments, sacred decorations, and architectural samples feature the pinecone as a key design element. The largest pine cone sculpture in the world is prominently featured in Vatican Square, in the Court of the Pine Cone. We'll come back to these startling Catholic examples in a minute. In 2012 Enigma, I also pointed out that King Tut's golden burial mask features a uraeus, or kundalini serpent, emerging from the general area of the pineal gland in his forehead. Statues of Buddha often feature a prominent third eye between his eyebrows as a raised circular area. Buddha's hair appears to be stylized in the shape of a pineal gland as well. Almost all Hindu gods and goddesses are pictured with a bindi, or a third eye, between their eyebrows. Many Hindus still wear such a symbol to this day. The Hindu god Shiva's hair also looks like a stylized pineal gland, and the kundalini serpents wrap around his neck. After I released 2012 Enigma, I found a sculpture of the Mesoamerican god Quetzalcoatl emerging from the mouth of a serpent, and the body of the serpent is coiled into the exact shape of the pineal gland. In this same sculpture, Quetzalcoatl wears a necklace made out of pine cones, Better yet, the pine cones appear to have energetic waves streaming into them from the bottom. The mouth of the serpent frames Quetzalcoatl's face just like we would see in a modern astronaut's helmet. Also, if you look at pictures of the Temple of Quetzalcoatl, the plumed serpent, at Teotihuacan, you can easily see multiple images of pine cones carved alongside the serpent heads. Sacred stones. Ancient cultures also used sacred stones to symbolize the pineal gland. The Sumerian version was called the Primitive Mountain, and it was believed to be the first piece of land to emerge from the primordial sea during the foundation of heaven and earth. This may represent how the pineal gland is allegedly the first place in the body that is contacted by the waters of spirit, the non-physical realms of the afterlife. In Babylonian culture, this same mountain became a symbol for the Axis Mundi, the axis the world turns on, and/or the central navel of the earth. This was the place where the gods came and went, and it was illustrated with the king standing directly on top of the mountain. A physical stone was also erected to mark this most sacred location, and it determined all the parallels and meridians, as well as the cardinal points of the compass. The Egyptians had the same myth of a stone marking the center of the world, which they called the Benben, and the king Atum stood upon it during his act of creation. Some forms of the Benben are shaped exactly like the pineal gland. The capstone of a pyramid, as well as the pyramid structure itself, is also believed to represent the Benben stone. This obviously gives incredible new context to the Great Seal of the United States. Here we have a single eye in a triangle floating on top of a pyramid. In light of the pyramid-Benben third eye relationship, the symbolic connection between the Great Seal and the pineal gland is undeniable. And we will discuss this mysterious symbol in Chapter 7. In early illustrations of the Great Seal of the United States, the bird on the front side was not an eagle. It was deliberately illustrated as a phoenix. The Egyptians drew the Benben stone with the bird flanking it on either side, called the Bennu bird. This bird may be depicted as a hawk, eagle, heron, or yellow wagtail, depending upon which Egyptian source you study. But in Greek mythology, the Bennu bird is known as the phoenix. This mythical creature experiences death by fire, followed by a spontaneous rebirth from the ashes, clearly associating the Bennu bird with a profound spiritual awakening and transformation. The words Benben and Bennu are both derived from the root syllable bin, which means ascension, or to rise in Egyptian. Two serpents may also be pictured with the Benben stone at times, and they appear equivalent to the Kundalini serpents in Hinduism, illustrating the flow of energetic currents moving up the spine and on into the pineal gland. It is also fascinating to note that in Egyptian mythology, the Bennu's cry is believed to have started the great cycles of time. These cycles were said to have been appointed by a divine intelligence, and Horus, Bennu bird, became the Egyptian deity associated with division of time. There is a strong possibility that the main unit of time represented by the Bennu's cry is the precession of the equinoxes, a 25,920-year cycle that appears as a slow wobble in the Earth's axis. This strongly implied association between the Bennu and the 25,920-year cycle may be a prophecy that humanity will experience a phoenix-like transmutation effect at the end of this cycle. And we will explore other prophetic traditions that support this concept as well. Our investigation into the procession begins in Chapter 6. The Egyptian Book of the Dead features instructions on how the spiritual seeker may transform himself or herself into a Bennu bird or phoenix, symbolically speaking. And the results of this practice, if successfully achieved, are very interesting. I have flown up like the primeval ones. I appear in glory with the strides of the gods. As for him who knows this pure spell, it means going out into the day after death and being transformed at will, and nothing evil shall have power over him. In Hinduism, the Shiva Lingam is a stone shaped exactly like the pineal gland, and is mythologically associated with the center of the world from which the god Shiva first burst through in a fiery spectacle. Again, we remember the pineal gland is in the geometric center of the brain and was believed to be the first point of contact for telepathic information exchange, not unlike the idea of a god bursting through to communicate a message. Let's not forget that Shiva is also drawn with the fully opened third eye, the kundalini serpents around his neck, and his hair stylized to look like a pineal gland. In Greece, we have the Amphalos stone, which was housed at the oracle at Delphi and is also shaped exactly like the pineal gland. This was believed to be a stone in which the god Apollo resided, and through it, the oracles could communicate with him and harness the power of prophecy. Some Amphalos stones are clearly pictured with the kundalini serpent wrapping around them. The word Amphalos means the center of the earth, and navel in Greek. And this area was again the main geographic reference point for the entire Hellenic Empire. In the Roman Empire, this same stone was known as the Betel, a Phoenician word that was later written as Bethel, and was apparently the word root for Bethlehem, the birthplace of Jesus, who became the chief cornerstone of the Christian world. The Betel stone was directly associated with oracles and prophecy. A surprising number of Greek and Roman coins prominently feature the Amphalos or Betel stone on one side, sometimes guarded by a hawk, as one ancient depiction of the Bennu bird, or a serpent. Some of these coins feature the Tree of Life, another symbol of the Axis Mundi, growing directly out of the stone or adjacent to it. Other Roman coins feature a triangular betel, specifically an isosceles triangle with a narrow base and two longer sides of equal length. This triangle looks halfway between a pyramid and an obelisk in shape and is curiously similar to the pyramid we see on the US dollar bill, although steeper. Even more interestingly, some of these Roman coins have the top part of the triangle cut off by a horizontal line, which forms the equivalent of a small capstone. If you think about a Roman coin with a betel on one side and a hawk or eagle on the other, you're now much closer to the Great Seal of the United States, with a pyramid on one side and the eagle on the other. And this does not appear to be a coincidence. Many of these Roman betel coins feature the image of a winged angel on the opposite side. The design of this angel is very similar to that of winged Babylonian gods, such as Tammuz, who were pictured holding a pine cone in one hand and pointing it as if it possessed mystical powers. One coin from Syria, circa 246 to 227 BC, features the god Apollo sitting on the Amphalos stone, which is very clearly stylized to look like a pinecone in this case. Two other Greek coins show Apollo sitting on an Amphalos that is even more blatantly stylized as a pinecone. Given this history, and the widespread use of the Amphalos and Betel on Greek and Roman coins, we can understand why the Romans placed a giant bronze statue of a pinecone in the center of St. Peter's in the Vatican and built a pinecone into the Pope's staff. The Pope is supposed to be God's anointed messenger, and in the ancient traditions, this requires an awakened pineal gland. A quick Google Images search proves the staff I show in 2012 Enigma is not the only one with a pinecone in it that the Pope carries. The gigantic bronze pinecone at the Vatican is much taller than a human being and is surrounded by Egyptian symbols. This statue fixed the Vatican as the center of the Roman Catholic world, the Axis Mundi, in accordance with the ancient tradition. Two lions guard the statue at its base, sitting on pedestals that are inscribed with Egyptian hieroglyphics. The statue itself is flanked with two birds that almost certainly represent the Egyptian Bennu phoenix. But none of this is explained. Behind the looming pinecone statue lies an open Egyptian-style sarcophagus, similar to what is found in the King's Chamber of the Great Pyramid. Elsewhere in the Vatican, we find Egyptian obelisks with Christian symbols apologetically included on their tops. This massive bronze pinecone is found in the Court of the Pina, or Court of the Pinecone, at the northern end of the great Renaissance Belvedere courtyard in St. Peter's. To the south, we find Pope Pius VII's Braccio Nuovo. Eastward, we see the Chiaromoni Gallery. Pope Innocent VIII's Palazzetto is to the north, and Pope Sixtus V's Apostolic Library Galleries are to the west. This huge pinecone was cast in the 1st or 2nd century AD by Publius Cincius Salvius, who inscribed his name on the base. Near the end of the 8th century, it was moved directly into the center of the entrance hall in the medieval St. Peter's. It wasn't dismantled and moved into its current position until 1608. Obviously, the early church fathers felt the pinecone was an extremely important symbol if they placed it so prominently in the Vatican. Further clues may be found in the Bible, where Jesus said, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be filled with light." Matthew 6:22. The Court of the Pinecone also has an enigmatic sphere-within-sphere sculpture at the center. Various images seem to be conveyed, including the shell of an egg cracking open, the possible idea of two planets colliding together, and the concept of hidden gears and machinery being exposed under the surface of the spheres. The two spheres are offset from each other by 90 degrees, and various physics models have suggested we must make an angular turn like this, what they call an orthogonal rotation, to enter into higher dimensions. Intriguingly, this sculpture also looks like a stylized eye, which fits with the idea of the pine cone representing the pineal gland, or third eye. Islamic tradition is also built around a sacred stone, the Kaaba, that is the central object of devotion for the pilgrimage to the Holy Land of Mecca. It also is the axis mundi of the Islamic world, since every Muslim in the world prays toward this location. A small area of the stone is exposed for the pilgrims to kiss, and this area is surrounded by a polished metallic brace that looks just like a vertical, stylized third eye. The Kaaba may therefore be another representation of the pineal gland, in further accordance with the ancient tradition. Ireland also has cult stones dating back to around 200 BC that fit the pattern, and the Turow stone in County Galway looks just like the Omphalos, Benben, Shivalingam, and Betel, with stylized, fire-like waves of energy carved across its surface.